you been out on the roads today? Well, then you know that back to school means back to traffic. For many teachers, a lot of them new to their schools, it also means making their way to some stifling classrooms. And that has more than one teacher hot under the collar. We called one we speak with periodically, Corey Rosenly, and asked if teachers are facing different realities this school year.
Well, I think for a lot of teachers, you know, starting the new evaluation process, you know, there's a lot of nervousness about how that's going to impact their teaching and the learning in the classroom. One of the big new things for my own school is that we have close to 30 new teachers. You know, even for some positions, there are no teachers right now. So it's very possible that if you're a parent right now, your child will go to a classroom that the person they have won't be a teacher, but they won't even know that.
And they won't know that because parents will not have been advised that their kids don't have a permanent teacher?
Right. I mean, if someone's in the room, it's a teacher. You know, we don't know if that person has an education degree, if they're emergency hire, you know, what their qualifications are. As long as you have an adult in the front of the room, they're called teacher. But, you know, that's very unfair. And so a lot of times every year we have this high turnover rate, and every year we have, you know, new teachers coming in, but sometimes we just don't have enough bodies to fill the classroom, and so schools are going out and trying to find anyone they can get to be in the classroom. But long-term wise, you know, that, think about how that impacts education.
As you start this year, too, we're coming out of a week where we had very high humidity and heat of a different nature, and you're in classrooms that don't have AC, but if you're lucky, you get a fan or maybe a couple of them and have to talk over all of them. How is that impacting your kids?
Well, I want to give a situation of this one teacher, brand new teacher. She walks into her classroom. Her room has four cinder block walls. There is no cross ventilation. Basically, two walls have slits of windows at the top, and that's it. And one of those windows, basically, the sun comes in, so they have to close it. She has no fans, nothing. You know, and they're going to put 30, 40 kids into her classroom, and basically what we've created is a cinder block oven. And if you've ever been in a classroom like that, it's just so impossible to teach because the kids come in, especially after lunch, it's hot, and the heat is so bad that they can't focus on learning.
And many studies show that kids have to be in a temperature of about, you know, 72 degrees optimally, but certainly nothing more than about 75 or 76 if you want them to pay attention. Yet these classrooms are 80 degrees, 85 degrees, or higher.
As a teacher, it angered me when I was in a classroom like that. You wouldn't think that in Minnesota they wouldn't heat their rooms, or Arizona they wouldn't air condition their rooms. Guam passed a law saying that classrooms had to be cooler than 78 degrees or they had to be air conditioned. In Hawaii, we haven't done that. You know, and it angers me so much that they would put a child into a room like that, 100 degrees, and it's okay. I mean, if you were to put a child, even if you left the windows open in a car and it was 100 degrees, they would arrest the parent. But parents are going to be dropping off their kids to school, and they're going to put them in a 100-degree classroom, and not just by themselves, but with 40 other kids, and that's okay. And it can't be that way. The law has to change on that.
Why do you think that, knowing this, parents obviously de facto say it's okay because they drop off their kids just because they have to?
Well, we get used to the normal even if we sometimes think it's wrong. And only when things change does it matter to us. Take, for example, what if, say, for example, Campbell High School already had air conditioning, and they said, okay, we want to save money. So we're taking away the air conditioning, but this means that your children will have to be in 100-degree rooms. Then people would get upset. They say, that's unfair. You know, they would do something about it. But it's almost sort of like we may be angry at the status quo, but we almost feel like we can't do anything about it.
So how do we do something about it?
Well, in 2008, Campbell High School, we marched on the Capitol asking for air conditioning. And the recession hit a year later, and they were thinking about firing teachers. You know, now that the government has a surplus, teachers from Campbell and hopefully teachers from schools across the state, you know, this year we're going to push for a bill to mandate air conditioning. And Representative Takai in 2011 actually proposed a bill that said that within 5 years, all schools in Hawaii will have air conditioning. You know, and Guam passed that law. That's what we need to do in Hawaii.
Meanwhile, yeah. Corey, what are you going to do this year, next year, and whatever years it takes in between introducing a bill, getting it passed, and getting that AC in the school? Because I can hear the frustration in your voice, and it seems like, you know, we still have a whole generation of kids that are going to go through their entire high school career not having anything but hot classrooms.
My fear is not that we won't have it in 5 years, but my fear is in 10, 20 years we still won't have it. We're talking about multiple generations going out. If you wanted to ask me, yes, I would want the air conditioning in next week. No kid, I mean, the two parts of our conversation is there'll be kids that are going into rooms that are 100 degrees with a teacher that has no experience, and we can't call that an equal education. We can't call that a fair education. When those kids drop out or they're unprepared for college and we're surprised, you know, this is the current situation, and those things must change.
Is there anything that could be done, not quite in the order of a swamp cooler, because for reasons that have to do, I guess, with condensation, we don't use swamp coolers, but something other than AC, some sort of ceiling fan that pulls the heat out of the classroom? Would that be something that would work at your school?
I used to have a classroom where I had 11 fans. And many of those fans I had to purchase on my own. I just built it up over the years. And what the thing is realize you think 11 fans would actually do it, and it doesn't. The reason why is, number one, try to imagine competing with 11 fans. You're trying to teach a class, and I have one fan that sounds like an airplane taking off.
Right, you know, and I understand that, because you have them localized in the room. But is there any way of being able to do something with the ceiling of the classroom to be able to allow that air to flow up and out in ways that, you know, swamp coolers help in certain states where that's appropriate?
You know, it hasn't been in my experience. I've had ceiling fans at it before, but ceiling fans really don't deal with the humidity. And I know the hard part is we want a solution now, but the reality is I think that having gone through ceiling fans, 11 fans, you know, doing everything before, that reality is that, you know, when they've tried these experiments in the past, that air conditioning does seem to be the one way. You know, I just wish that, you know, the possibility is, you know, my dream would be even to have like a wall unit. You know, a wall unit is a lot cheaper than some of these large construction projects, but right now there are rules against putting wall units into a classroom.
And with those tiny itty-bitty windows at the very top of the wall, they might not fit in them anyway.
They may not, and not all classrooms have that ability, but more than not, it does. You know, it's interesting that if you go down to, say, the Department of Education or the Board of Education or legislature, they do have their air conditioning, but our students don't. And that makes a difference. You know, if we do value, you know, the next generation, we do value our students, then hopefully, I mean, wouldn't it be nice if this year the legislature would say, okay, we agree. We need to start appropriating funds for this. We do plan on fighting this year. I think that we finally had enough and we want to do something. And, you know, rather than live on a negative note, I want to say to those parents out there or those legislators out there that let's make this year the year we change this.
Well, you have an ability to make a change. This may be the year that galvanizes the kind of support that you once had in 2008. We're going to hope for the best for you and hopefully for some cooler weather, too. Thanks, Corey.
Thank you.
Corey Rosenlee is a 15-year nationally certified social studies teacher from Campbell High School. He is one of the organizers of the Hawaii Teachers Work to the Rules movement. And although today is a little cooler, as soon as the temperature rises, he and his students will compete with the heat to teach and learn.